I've been exploring this idea of like synchronicities, and I don't think there's a coincidence anymore. Like there's synchronicities everywhere and they're happening everywhere. It's just whether or not you actually notice them. And I think for me, it's just noticing that, you know, there's all of these little signs, like we're always being led, we're always being guided. And I truly believe that everyone is. It's just a matter of tapping in and noticing. You know, I feel like if you ask a question, the answer's there. You just need to be willing and open to listen.
Hello and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Yandara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Yandara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Yandara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, and I'm so happy to have my guest today, Chelsea Winters. Chelsea has been leading a retreat here, and she is a owner and founder of Anahata Yoga and Wellness Studio in Colorado. She actually received her teaching certifications at Yandara, a few of them. And now she leads her own teacher trainings and local and international retreats. So welcome to the podcast, Chelsea.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think it's so cool. It's like a closing circle that you are now leading a retreat here at Yandara after starting here.
It's wonderful to be back.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So I thought we could start with your special journey that you had to becoming a studio owner, because I know there's an interesting story behind that.
Yeah. So I was working in real estate in Colorado. We're outside the Vail area in Minturn, and it's a full-time business, you know, being a real estate broker. And I also was teaching yoga. I've managed studios in the past, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's like, hey, did you see your yoga studio down the street? Like a block from my house, there was this place for vacancy for rent, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Planted a seed. And
without that being really your yoga studio.
Yeah, it wasn't my yoga studio. No, it was just vacant for rent, and I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, once the seed was planted, it took a little bit, not a lot of convincing to go take a look. And then I walked in and, you know, I was like, whoa, this could work with a little bit of fresh paint. And, you know, it's pretty perfect. And yeah, things escalated pretty quickly.
Amazing. How long ago was that?
That was 3 years ago. So we just had we're actually right now celebrating our third year anniversary. So.
Amazing. Mazal tov. Yes. You know what that is? It's the Hebrew saying for congratulations.
Thank you.
People know it as Mazel Tov.
Yes. Thank you.
Amazing. So how was that being a real estate agent, kind of mostly full-time, right? Mm-hmm. And deciding to take that leap of faith into opening an actual physical place and becoming a kind of full-time yoga teacher, right?
Yeah, it was scary, but you know, the analytical side of me took a look and figured out, okay, so if I sign this 2-year lease, you know, what will happen? You know, looking at the numbers, and what if no one walks in the door? You know, this is my risk factor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I hope someone walks in the door. And then you know, then just sitting at the other side of the spectrum thinking, wow, like what happens if I don't do this? And that was much scarier.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew if I didn't do it, I would regret it. Mm-hmm. So taking that leap of faith was hard. You know, it was hard to figure out, well, how much time do we have? You know, we only have so much energy. Can I do this? And I was like, well, I need to just figure it out. I need to try it and see if it will work. And you know, real estate's very different than yoga.
Yeah.
It was super time consuming, and it was the right choice, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, I think, you know, I opened May of 2019. So, you know, just starting to figure things out. You know, I've never been a studio owner before. I've never really been a small business owner. So it was a crash course really quick in figuring out all the things, yoga business owner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things were just starting to rock. Things were getting to this good place, like November, December, January. I remember standing in the studio thinking, wow, like this is working. And then COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
And then we closed for 13 weeks. And, you know, like the rest of the world, we tried to figure out what life looked like. And, you know, 2 years later, after that, we're still kind of picking up pieces and figuring out, you know, what does this look like? And so I still feel like we're almost in our first year of growth, but it's, you know, it's working and it's super rewarding and it feels really good.
Yeah. How do you compare how you feel in terms of what you're receiving from your occupation now than compared to what it was when you were doing real estate? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So during COVID, you know, it wasn't sustainable. For me, the pace that I was living in real estate was not sustainable. And I knew that. Mm. It was lucrative and it was, you know, it provided me with a lot, but it took a lot too, working around the clock. So I knew, you know, there was not that sustainability factor and I was going to have to move on at some point. And then when COVID hit, it was really crystal clear. I also, it was clear that something needed to give. And at that point it was like, well, do you choose what, you know, is paying your bills or do you choose what is filling your heart? So at that point I decided to really take that big leap of faith. And I stepped down from real estate and decided that I really needed to give the studio 100% mm-hmm. because it probably, it couldn't be successful without all of my energy.
Yeah.
So, and again, kind of that regret factor creeping in where it's like, well, if I don't try 100%, I won't know, mm-hmm. you know, I won't know. So,
yeah.
So I jumped.
I think that's such an important point that you brought up there, because when we come to these difficult life decisions where we're really at a crossroads and we have two options, I think for me at least, as it has helped a lot, as it has for you, to think, okay, this is a really scary thing that mm-hmm. I'm thinking of doing, but what would happen if I didn't do it? Like, that would be so much mm-hmm. scarier than if I did. Mm-hmm. And it has really been the catapult for me making big life transitions, leaving relationships. And I think that's really important to remember. When we were talking about this before, you said something that really rang true to me. Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah, you know, I was saying if we only have one life to live, you know, how are we going to spend our time? Mm. I think, you know, sometimes we, as yogis especially, we tap into this infinite source, this infinite life source, and we feel like there's this infinite draw of energy coming in. And while there is, there's only so much, I think, that we can expend. So while we can pull in, we need that time to recharge. Yeah. And when we're expending so much energy, it's like, where are we putting our energy before there isn't enough? And are we spending it in the way that we really want to? When we look back, so we don't have those regrets, so we feel like we really fulfilled what we wanted to
yeah.
in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if we only get one shot?
I mean, we do get one shot, at least at this life, right? I was reading a book this morning with the Dalai Lama and a psychiatrist that wrote it together with him. Mm-hmm. And the Dalai Lama was saying, like, the psychiatrist was asking him, how do we find motivations to create change in our life? And it was interesting that I picked up this book today, right before we wanted to talk about this. And then the Dalai Lama said that it's important, one of the practices that helps us get this urgency to create the change mm-hmm. is to remember that we only have one life to live.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. And then, well, the psychiatrist was asking him, is that relevant also for non-Buddhists? And he said, you have to be careful because you could also use that as in like, fuck it. Like, I only have one life to live. I'll just, you know, do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to be intentional with how you use this information. Mm-hmm. How did you choose and continuously choose to use that in your decisions today?
I think, again, it's that looking back, you know, how do you want to spend your time? How do you want to spend your energy? And everything is an exchange of energy. I mean, mm-hmm. this everything is, even this conversation, you know, you're giving energy, you're taking energy, and it's everything, what you consume in your body, how you spend your time with people, how you spend your time in nature. I mean, to me, being here at Yandara, the exchange of energy is massive. You know, yeah. I just took a shower and I was staring up at the sun and the palm trees and there's this little spider web. And it's just, I mean, I don't see that at home. So it's really, I've been able to craft this profession where it's transformational. I mean, we're on day 6 of a 7-day retreat. And by day 2, I mean, we were already seeing transformation taking place.
Really?
Just by being able to let go a little bit, be in nature and just, you know, see how things flow when you're not so in control and when you're not, you know, doing the mundane or the day-to-day, the things that you have to do. I mean, we all, you know, we have to work. There's things that we have to do. We have responsibilities. But when we're able to take a little bit more time with ourselves, it's just amazing what comes up. And sometimes it surprises.
Yeah. What kind of transformation have you seen so far?
I mean, I think in everyone, there's been little shifts. Mm-hmm. You know, even in myself, I mean, I felt just energetically when you walk onto the land and, you know, there's just been a lot of shifts. And I think for some people, it's been really profound and you can witness it. And I mean, some of people even almost look a little different. It's like the layers are shedding off. Mm-hmm. For some, it might be really small, little energetic or emotional shifts. But I think in all of it, it's finding that bigger connection to yourself and finding a bigger connection to nature and that sense of oneness of, mm-hmm. you know, that everything is connected. You know, and when you're running around and going from client to client, house to house, and, you know, whatever the profession is, just it's, you know, moving at a slower pace can be really profound. And I think little moments in silence can be really profound. Mm-hmm. So trying to take what we're working on here on retreat and bringing it home. And like, that's what we're doing in the studio. Sometimes you don't have 7 days to spend away from your profession or your kids or your husband and wife. And it's really nice to be able to take 1 hour for yourself. So mm-hmm. you know, really honoring yourself in that way and seeing even just the transformation of a yoga class. Someone might come in, they're super stressed out, just trying to leave that baggage at the door. Some of it will probably still be there.
Yeah.
But maybe we left a little bit. Maybe we let a little go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've seen students come into class with, you know, like the eyebrows yeah. curled.
Sweating, yeah. dropping their water bottle.
yeah, on the phone still with somebody who's, you know, yeah. saying stuff they don't want to hear. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then how they leave yeah. a yoga class. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's really interesting what you said about the exchange of energy, because when we think of life as that, instead of, well, for me it was really meaningful to realize that energy is something real. Mm-hmm. You know, because when we think it's just like everything is physical, there is just what we see and what we can touch, that's one level of living life. But when you realize that even the subtleties of what you're thinking, how you're speaking to somebody, how you're speaking to yourself makes mm-hmm. such a difference in the interaction, or, you know, in also your internal interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that is so true. I've even just been thinking about the exchange. I forget what I was reading. I was listening to something. I'm always listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. But I was listening to something a couple of days before I came here, and it was talking about, you know, here we have this exchange of money. And it's just an exchange of energy. I mean, the money yeah. itself, the paper has no value, mm-hmm. but we've given it value. So it's, yeah. you know, we're exchanging this energy for it. And it's just really interesting to see where priorities land. And we need mm-hmm. money. We need, you know, we need food. There's basic needs that we need. And then there's luxury needs that we need. But just knowing what you're exchanging in order to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Money is a form of energy, right? Because mm-hmm. we give value to it. Mm-hmm. So when we choose to put our money somewhere, it's actually where we're investing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. So are we investing in, you know, like a new shirt, which is mm-hmm. can be nice sometimes, but is what we're investing in meaningful and will it give us energy back?
Mm-hmm. Like, and how long will it last?
Yeah.
How long will that energy exchange last? Mm-hmm. Is it worth it?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's such an interesting point to think mm-hmm. of. And I think that also when we invest our energy in whatever form it is, I love that point of how much will it last and what will it mm-hmm. give us is also an important point. Like, what do we choose to take from it? Are we mm-hmm. going to, because I was thinking about this a few days ago about experiences that we have, mm-hmm. let's say like an interaction between people. So that takes some exchange of energy. But even if the exchange isn't coming out as we thought it would or wanted it to, what can we still keep from that? Can mm-hmm. we learn something from it and make that the purpose of the interaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So what are some ways that you fill your energy up?
Mm. For me, it's being in places like this. Mm. Sunshine. I think I was talking with someone the other day. I was like, I think I'm solar powered. I really need sunshine. It fills me up. Like, I love the sun on my skin, on my face. It feels good in my soul. Mm-hmm. For me, hearing the waves crashing, being able to put my feet in the water, some sort of a water source. So for me, it's sun and water and nature, being able to laugh with family and friends. I think for me, it's really, of course, I mean, there's some material items and luxuries that we all like in life, but it's those experiences. You know, what are you going to remember? I'm looking out here right now and I see palm trees and hills. Like, the desert makes me super happy. And then when you couple it with the ocean, it's so beautiful here.
Yeah, this is a really special place, yeah. Baja in general and also Yandara specifically.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice. It feels a little bit like coming home. Mm-hmm. On retreat, I'm working. You know, this is a work trip, but it's just really interesting because there is. I mean, I'm holding a lot of space. There's a lot of energy going out, but I'm getting a lot of energy back. You know, I mean, I'm seeing those transformations. I'm seeing how people are leaving lighter, just watching the layers shed.
Yeah.
So that fills me up too.
So giving actually fills you up.
Yeah.
I love that. Beautiful. What has been the biggest challenge for you in being a yoga teacher, studio owner, retreat leader?
Wow, yeah. It's hard to say. There's been, there's the day-to-day challenges. Because I think some people think just owning a yoga studio is just so zen and so awesome all the time. And and it is some days. It's super rewarding and just feel good. But then, you know, there's all of the day-to-day challenges and things come up and it's stressful. But, I think like authenticity is probably the biggest thing that keeps coming up for me. I think that was part of taking that leap of faith, that authenticity, being able to follow my heart, listen, and then just making sure that I'm like staying on track, that I just keep checking in and noticing, well, what feels good and where am I headed?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to be authentic?
I think authentic is really who you are at your core. You know, it's not who everyone thinks you are or who they want you to be or what they think you should be. I remember when I told people, oh, I'm opening up this yoga studio. And they're like, oh, that's a fun little hobby. listening to your heart and letting, all the chatter kind of step off to the side and really following your heart and following your path and knowing that it might not be easy energetically and it'll take a lot of work. And sometimes it's really, just being authentic with who you are rather than trying to be something that you're not. And I think oftentimes we see a lot of people being something that they're not or striving to be something that they want to be or they wish they were, So I think really just trying to be who you are at your very core is going to be the most potent part of yourself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's beautiful and very, very true. And yet I'm thinking, how do we know the difference? Because how do we know the difference of sometimes we want something and we're not exactly sure if the motivation is egoic, if we want it because of how it looks or somebody else has it or something like that, or is it really our core want? So how do you tell the difference?
I think that's where you need to get yogic. you need to sit with it and figure out, is it the brain and the ego talking to one another? Is it the heart and the intuition? Mm-hmm. Who's talking right now? Who's saying this to me? And that's the same, you know, is it the ego telling you you want this? Is it the ego telling you you can't do this? Mm-hmm. You know, is it the heart saying you want this? The soul saying you need this?
Yeah.
So I think it just takes time to listen. And I think the quieter, you know, the quieter you can become and the more time you can spend in beautiful places in nature, whether it's, you know, just going out to a local park if you're in a city, or, you know, going somewhere that's super remote and maybe turn your phone off for a little bit and just kind of tap in. I think that we do have that infinite source that we can tap into. Mm-hmm. And that's always available if we just take the time.
Yeah.
And that can be really powerful. And I think that's where, you know, that's where the intuition comes in, and that's where the authenticity comes in, when we listen.
When we listen to the information that's coming in.
Yeah. And listening, well, where is it coming from? Mm-hmm. You know, is it, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses? And, you know, who are the Joneses anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just really listening. Well, you know, again, if I leap, you know, what will happen? Mm-hmm. And if I don't, you know, what will happen? Mm-hmm. And can I live with both? Or which one can I live with?
Yeah. I agree with that so much. I think that, first of all, it's not a common practice to really listen to our intuition in terms of guiding our life. And yet, saying that, having been here for a few months already, I'm feeling very hopeful, because I'm meeting so many people who come to the training not necessarily to be teachers, but just because they feel like they want to change and they don't yet maybe even have the courage to do it. They just need the time to, as you said, quiet the mind, find this quiet around them in order to be able to notice and sense what's the next step to take.
I think that's where like a 200-hour training comes in, and it's so beautiful, where it can be super impactful and profound to do that locally. And that's probably most accessible for most people, to be able to do that and then go home and, you know, still see the family and do what you need to do. But if you have the ability to go into a 200-hour, I mean, when I was first exploring the idea of getting my 200-hour, I was a yogi, I was interested in it, I knew I wanted to teach, but I knew I needed to do it somewhere away. And then I started looking, and then, well, what will fill me up? You know, so I want to be somewhere in the sun. I want to be somewhere in the ocean. And here at Yandara, I was like, I want to be in nature. And I saw that we were sleeping in tents, and it just, to me, all the stars aligned. And I just kept going back. I'm like, I need to do that. It's kind of one of those, you know, intuition kind of gut instincts where it's like, I need to move forward with this. But seeing others that do that, who do the training, like, you don't have to teach, but if you're a yogi, you learn so much about yourself.
Yeah.
I've also seen, you know, that's kind of what I've integrated into my retreats, where, you know, if you don't have a couple of weeks or you don't want to teach, then, you know, take a week for yourself and come to a beautiful place and spend time in nature with other curious people, curious ones.
Yep.
And just, you know, see. I mean, we're doing all the same things. We're just not doing the actual study and the, you know, the testing out of it. We're doing the mantra and the meditation and the breath work and the asana practice and the satya connections, that deep. So satya, our truth, tapping into that truth and, you know, honoring. And that truth telling, it's, you're tapping into your heart. You know, the ego always answers first if you're not really listening, if you're not quiet. But when we get quiet, when we get still, you know, it's the heart.
That's so true. We need to take this time and this quiet in order to really, even to take a breath, because I feel like it's so true what you said. Like, the first response is the ego, what my head thinks that I should be saying. Mm-hmm. And just taking a breath a moment before making a decision, before saying something, makes such a difference in the way I show up. It moves from being from the head to being from my truth. Mm-hmm. My satya.
Yes.
Definitely. So what has been something that you learned about yourself while doing all of this?
Again, really, like, just what keeps coming back to me is like, what matters? You know, this idea that my own personal energy is finite. You know, when COVID hit, I mean, it changed everyone's lives.
Yeah.
I had COVID really early on, you know, when we were like just starting to talk about it, and I got very, very sick. I was very sick for a long time, still kind of recovering a little bit. And really the biggest thing dealing with different, you know, different aspects and different symptoms of that virus, it's, you know, fatigue was like the biggest one for me. And it got to a point where it was like, like this energy is finite. It's not this infinite source that I could just expend. And I was expending a lot of energy, moving at a very unsustainable pace. Mm-hmm. And it was working, and it seemed to be working well, you know, for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like looking back on just getting sick with that, the universe gave me signs and I didn't listen. And I was like, well, we're just going to bring you to a screeching halt. So it's, you know, bringing you to a place where you just need to stop and slow down. And when you have that moment again to slow down, it's, well, then you reflect like, well, what really matters, you know? If you're not well, your health is your most important, you know, like how are you going to spend your time when you're well?
Right.
You know, if you're so busy, it's like, well, how are you going to spend your free time? So just coming into balance a little bit more is really, really important. And it's not always easy to do. And sometimes we don't do it on our own. Sometimes we need something external to bring us into a state where we can become more reflective and figure out, you know, what our priorities are. And I think for me, it was that, you know, that screeching halt where, well, this isn't sustainable. I'm being forced to pivot. You know, what do we do now? And then, now I just signed a lease on a yoga studio and I'm working two full-time jobs. This is not sustainable either. Mm-hmm. You know, so something has to give. Mm-hmm. Figuring out, well, what's going to give? Well, let me listen, and tapping into that heart space and letting that make the decision.
Yeah. So in that exploration, what did you find were your priorities in life?
I think just spending quality time, you know, being able to spend quality time with those that I love and spending quality time in nature. And I recently took a trip down the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's 3 weeks in a boat and a raft in one of the most beautiful places on earth. And, you know, being able to do things like that is really important to me.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And it's also a really interesting point that you brought up, like the universe is always talking to us. It's always telling us if something is working or isn't working, and we don't always listen, right?
No.
It takes us time sometimes until we hear the call. And sometimes we really need to be taken out, like you said, like until we really listen.
In yoga, we call that our samskaras, you know, where we get in those habitual grooves in the record. And you know, when there's a little scratch in the record, we just keep going around and around and hearing that, you know, hearing the same lesson, learning the same lesson. So, you know, being in the same situation, but with another person or another situation, just, you know, for me, it was just the speed in which I was living. That was a big samskara. Mm-hmm. And then being able to get out of that groove of the record and just, wow, yeah, I need to slow down a little bit.
It's not easy, though, for a person that is, you know, very highly motivated and wants to achieve a lot. How did you work that out within yourself?
I think it's coming to terms with, again, not only how you spend your time, but I think, what does success mean? So, you know, working in real estate, success is closing deals and working with lots of clients and being really busy and working with this client today and this client in the afternoon and, just this busyness and equating, well, what does success mean now? And now it's, well, did I have a good day? You know, how do I feel? Like, how does my energy feel? Not just, you know, how does my bank account look? You know,
it's,
I think having that, again, that exchange of energy, like, you know, what did you expend today and what did you receive in return? You know, and just feeling good about that exchange at the end of the day.
Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300-hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. It's very true, because we, as yoga teachers, and also you hear this rhetoric a lot in the spiritual world that it's all about giving, and it just isn't sustainable if we're only giving, mm-hmm. giving, right? It has to be a balanced give and take, right? I think it's also a pretty interesting spiritual practice to be able to receive.
I think it's quintessential for us to receive.
Yeah.
I mean, even just looking back on my own journey, you know, moving really fast, having the universe slow me down, you know, it's just, it was saying like, you need to receive time. Like at that point, it was like just receiving time. You know, I'm watching some of the yogis here on retreat and it's just watching them receive. I mean, a lot of them, it's all women this trip, and it's a lot of them are moms and also have full-time jobs and have a husband and just have a lot of, you know, a lot of different directions that they're being pulled when they're at home. And, you know, on day one, I heard from many of them say, well, wow, this is like the first time I've just relaxed. Mm. You know, this is the first time I took a nap.
Yeah.
You know, we have, they're, you know, receiving through their yoga practice, they're receiving through walks on the beach, they're, you know, receiving nourishing food that is being cooked for them, and, you know, they don't have to cook it or clean it up. And just, I mean, it's, they're little things, but it's just being able to allow yourself just to fill up, you know, and we can't, you know, we can't always live this yoga retreat lifestyle or, you know, yoga training lifestyle, but being able to incorporate just little parts of your day, you know, just to fill you up just enough, you know, just to be able to pour it back out again.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what the yoga practice gives us, you know, it gives us this, fills us with energy, in a way that is real.
Yeah.
It's not artificial now, like having 10 cups of coffee that like, you know, fills up for a moment and then we crash. It's this long lasting, real, truthful, authentic energy source that is always available to us. And learning these practices that we learn through our yoga really allow us to tap into that energy source.
That's beautiful. We this week I've been talking a lot about to the group just breath as medicine, and we just keep going back to that. So it's like slowing down and just breathing, this idea of prana. So you know, prana, this life force energy, so it's our inhale, but it's not just oxygen, it's everything else that it draws in, everything that we need to sustain us. And we've been really working on these really deep pranic breaths and just like really trying to pranify the body, like build us up. It just, again, it's just amazing to see these little shifts, and we're not doing a lot. It's subtle, but it can be really profound, and then it has this ripple effect.
Yeah. And it's something that everybody can do at home.
Yeah. It's accessible. It's free.
It's free.
It's free.
And it doesn't take that much time, right?
No.
Just a few moments of feeling like you feel like you're stressed. Everybody wants something from you. Like, I feel like it really makes me think of women, because we're always giving. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Women are, as I see it, are really more the nurturers of society and more taking care of society, whether you have children or not. And as a woman, it's easy to forget that it's a two-way street, you know? It goes in and out. So just taking a moment to fill up with the breath is really interesting.
Yeah, it's important.
What's your favorite spiritual practice?
I think it depends on what I need. You know, it changes. I've been working a lot with Qigong lately. The more subtle, I think, has been more profound for me lately. I love a good flow practice. I love to teach flow. To me, it feels almost like choreographing dance. So it becomes really fun just to get the body into these really beautiful shapes, and it feels good. But for me, the most profound is always either like the subtle movements of Qigong or the breath work. Breath work can be so, it's just powerful. For me, sometimes I can do like an asana practice for an hour, and I might, you know, if there's something going on externally, I might still be working it out in my head. I don't always get out of my head. Mantra or breathwork are the two that get me from A to B so quickly. You know, 3 minutes of breath of fire, or, you know, you chant 108 Ganesha, Ganapataye mantras, and you're like, oh, feel pretty good.
Yeah.
So I think, just working with that and just working with more energy in general, mm-hmm. working with Reiki during meditations, you know, channeling energies. And
when you look into the future and see yourself in 5 years, what is a goal that you would like to achieve?
I think right now I'm just trying to be really open. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to be like so goal oriented and so like I have to do this by then and I have to do this and meeting deadlines and, you know, checking the boxes. And I'm just trying to do my best. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just trying to show up and really do my best right now and really give my energy in these places where I am. And I love doing the retreats. It's my favorite. I love doing a whole week. I'd love to see the studio grow. And yeah, it's just kind of that handing over to this higher power. And well, let's just trust, like getting into that flow state.
Yeah.
Figuring out rather than, you know.
Beautiful. I agree. I was thinking like, how would I answer that question?
Yeah, that's a hard question. Yeah. If you asked me, you know, 5 years ago, I'd probably be like, well, this is what I have going on. And probably whatever those goals were, I'm probably not living those right now, but my perspective is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah. Who knows who I'll be in 5 years?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially where I'll be.
Yeah, where you'll be. Or if you'll be, like, you know, just going back. Like, you have this one life. Like, how are you going to live it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
You make the most.
Mm-hmm. I love that Buddhist practice of impermanence, like realizing that everything is impermanent. Mm-hmm. You don't know how long you'll be here. You don't know how long anything will last. Like even the things that we think are certain mm-hmm. aren't certain. No, nothing is certain. So when we remember that, it gives us a much deeper appreciation for what is.
I think just even looking back on, you know, the last journey of the couple of years, I mean, nothing's certain for anyone. If we can take one thing away from COVID, it's that everything is constantly changing.
Yes.
And I think just being able to adapt, and that's really hard. I mean, we get set in our ways. Sometimes those grooves feel really good on the record. You know, you just want to stay right there. And I think just being able to adapt, I mean, as humans, we get into that state where we're connected to something, and it's, you know, not saying that we should be, you know, all over the place, but being open to knowing that, you know, everything's a little bit fluid and we're really not in control of very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we really hold on to that tight, it's, you know, that's when the suffering really takes place. And I mean, this has been 2 years in the making and I'm still holding on to, well, I used to be able to do this and I used to feel this way. And, you know, it becomes almost like a grieving process of we're letting go of layers of what we used to be. And do we even want to be that anymore? I don't know, but
yeah,
it becomes this, you know, we hold on to that constant, and when we can let go of that and let things flow and be a part of that change, it's a lot easier, but that's a practice in itself.
Yeah, definitely. How does that practice look like for you? What helps you when you get kind of like stuck in holding on?
I mean, I think, you know, the practices we talked about, for me, it's coming back to my mat or to my meditation cushion and breathing, or, you know, well, okay, well, what's going on in this? Where do I feel this in my body? How can I move this energy through me? I mean, everything's energy, and really been working with this idea of like energy getting stuck, you know, and it's like often we're holding on or we're grasping onto something and it's like, it needs to flow. So how can we get it to flow? So whether that's through movement or dance or, you know, if I'm having a weird day and I'm working down at the studio and, you know, sometimes we just have days that things are not going right. Mm. It's this beautiful wood floor and there's a fireplace and high ceilings, and I'll put on a song that I really love and just hope no one walks by and just dance for like 4 minutes.
I love that.
Shake it out, whatever it looks like. And then just get that energy moving. And you know, you maybe didn't solve the problems you were working through, but you feel better.
Yeah.
You know, because you came back into that flow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then from that place of feeling better, you're more adept to solving the problem. Like you can approach it with a much more balanced perspective. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, it's kind of like going outside of this fear of how am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? And trying to like really control how things are going to happen. completely. And it's going into this knowing that it's not just up to me. Like there's mm-hmm. something that's bigger than me that's helping me and guiding me and like supporting me and going towards the right decision. Mm-hmm. When I think that the responsibility is 100% on me, that's the scariest thing ever. But when I remember that that's not true, then there is like infinite trust and just reassurance that things are going to mm-hmm. work out.
I think, yeah, I mean, whatever your religion or beliefs or spiritual beliefs are, I mean, it's all integrated. It all weaves together, you know, whatever you call that. And for me, it's getting into nature, you know, like grounding down. My body is the happiest when I'm in bare feet in the sun. You know, it's just like connecting with something that's a little bigger and, you know, kind of handing over a little bit where it's like I'm not in control of everything. Mm-hmm. I think for me too, it's looking at, I mean, just time in general over the last few years has been really interesting to me. It feels super elastic. You know, it's like, you know, something like when something isn't good, you know, you feel like you're there and it feels like you're never going to be good again, you know. And then when things are really good, it's like, wow, that went by so fast. I mean, we have one more day here at Yandara and I'm like, gosh, where did that week go?
Yeah.
But it's really interesting, our relationship with time. And I think coming from a place where I used to be like, there isn't enough time. I need to move faster. I need to get this done. I need to, you know, just what does successful look like? And now I try to work with this mantra, there's plenty of time. We have plenty of time. Yeah. On days when it feels a little like you don't, and it all gets done. And if it didn't, maybe it didn't need to get done anymore.
Yeah. And what that makes me think of as well as like in a bigger context, not just one day, because for me, like I'm always rushing. Like I already want to have a business and I want to be successful and I want to like successful in, you know, certain terms. But, you know, I'm always rushing to do things and just thinking about like there's plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Like who said it needs to be in this age or, you know, in this way or something like that?
I don't know.
Nobody.
Nobody. Society and, you know, technology and Instagram and Facebook and
I guess they said that.
Yeah, they said that.
But do I believe it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, is that true? Is
who
that
believes
true?
It? Who believes it?
Yeah. You
know, is it the ego or is it the heart? The ego believes it for sure.
Yeah. So let's go to our closing curiosity questions. I end each episode with these. The first one is, what is something that you've changed your mind about?
I think my eyes are just opening. You know, I think the things that I used to think I knew about, I just don't really. You know, I feel like every time I learn something more, it opens up this door where it's like there's so much more beyond that. You know, I think I know something that I'm doing this energy work and, you know, feeling, you know, some sort of practice or kriya, and it's like, wow, well, what was that? That's, you know, just like leaning in with that curiosity. It's like what you think you know, you don't. And
I love that, and I try to live that way as well. Like everything that we know could be explored deeper. Mm-hmm. So if we think we know, then we'd cut off any possibility to learn more. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful.
Thank you.
What is something you didn't think you could do and you did?
Maybe open the studio. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a huge leap of faith, and that was pretty, I mean, that was pretty scary. I mean, it was a big leap of faith, and but I did it, and I'm so glad I did.
Next one is, what gives you hope?
I think the fact that I don't know. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm like watching. There's just so much. I mean, I think I've been exploring this idea of like synchronicities, and I don't think there's a coincidence anymore. Like there's synchronicities everywhere and they're happening everywhere. It's just whether or not you actually notice them. Mm. And I think for me, it's just noticing that, you know, there's all of these little signs, like we're always being led, we're always being guided. And I truly believe that everyone is. It's just a matter of tapping in and noticing, know, I feel like if you ask a question, the answer's there. You just need to be willing and open to listen. Mm-hmm. So that gives me a lot of hope. You know, I'm working with so many beautiful women this week, and it's just watching their stories and, you know, working through different traumas and different experiences. And it's like there's this ability, like we have this ability to move energy. Mm-hmm. Like we have this ability. We're not stuck. And it's really hard to be in a place where you feel stuck. You know, having speaking from experience, it's really hard to be in that place where you feel stuck, where you feel out of control. And just being able to trust and move that energy through and knowing that you actually are in control of some of it. You know, like we have this ability to move energies through us, and it's can just be so powerful. I mean, when you're working with the chakras, they're like the seven major energy centers in the bodies, and you feel these places where you're stuck. Like we have the ability, we have the tools if we do the work to really break that open. Like we don't have to be exactly where we are. I mean, there's different parts of our life that might be, you know, like socioeconomic and, you know, where you are in the world. That you might be out of your control, but there's so much that we can control inside that we don't have to be stuck.
Yeah.
And just witnessing like all of these little and like big transformations, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. When you speak about the ways that we can move this energy, you're talking about the breath work, yoga practice.
Yeah, the yoga practice, the silencing, the quieting, you know, the maybe asking like for some guidance and just slowing down and receiving. So I think, you know, when we think of yoga, we think of, you know, moving through all these asanas or postures. And certainly that's a really beautiful practice. And there's a lot of power behind that. But yeah, just working with the energy, like how do you move energy through your body? And maybe it is yoga, you know, maybe it's yoga, or maybe it's going out for a hike and just being in nature. It's getting on the river and, you know, whatever fills you up, getting into that space where you can be really full and let the energy move. And I think it's really being in nature.
Definitely makes all the difference. And last question, what are you curious about right now?
It's hard to pinpoint into one.
Yeah.
There's so much. I mean, there's so much. I'm always trying to learn more. You know, I've been listening to podcasts and audiobooks, and like if you see me around town, I always have my headphones in, and I'm just always listening to something. Just trying to feed myself up. And I should think energy has been so interesting to me lately. So really looking into all of that and like metaphysical and looking at even just like all the yoga lineages and philosophy. And I mean, there's so much. There's so much. Yeah.
Beautiful. How can people stay connected with you?
So they can see me on social media. They want to tap into the ego. They can find me with the studio, or I have my my personal account. So it's Anahata Yoga CO or Chelsea Winters Yoga on Instagram. And also those will connect you with Facebook, or you can find me on the website for the studio. So for Anahata Yoga and Wellness, it's www.anahatayogaco.com. So spelt just like the heart chakra, heart energy center. And you can join me on retreat or in the studio. We're offering all of our classes virtually since COVID. So we have our in-person classes and then we live stream. So you can join me on Mind Body. And yeah, I'd love to see everyone.
Amazing. Amazing that can be even done.
Yeah.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Chelsea. I really loved it.
Thank you for having me. So nice to be here and so nice to spend time with you.
You too. Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.